So basically, it's much like a Catholic school, and I could say that because I went to Catholic school for a little bit. It's a conservative environment. There's a way of there's a dress code, and that includes how people look. And apparently, his hair was too long. Would you have worked your way around this issue if he would have come and talked to you and say, "Look, this is who I am. This is what I want to do. Can we work something out here?" Would you have been able to do that?
We actually felt that, and as you can imagine, anytime that there's a situation like this, it can run emotionally pretty deep. And we just felt that had he come to us with his request, the options that we have that we outlined seemed very fair and reasonable, enabling him to continue to grow his hair. In fact, one of the things that didn't seem to get a whole lot of press coverage was, as this began, we had an army wife and mother in Saginaw, totally out of our area, totally unrelated and disconnected, that saw this, and she got a hold of us, and I can quote what she said. She said that she thinks that this particular student should organize a Locks of Love event, and the school board should sponsor that event, and that he can cut his hair at the event to satisfy the requirements. Now, remember, he began growing his hair for Locks of Love in January after he was already not compliant to the agreement that 3 years previously he was aware of and had been the entire time. So this army mom said, "You know, I said that as long as my husband was deployed, I wouldn't cut my hair, but it's long enough right now. I'll come. He trims it. We'll create awareness. Kids for Locks of Love will get hair right now." And we said, "This is a win-win for everybody." Presented it to the mom, and they just flatly rejected it.
All right. Now, if this would have been worked out previous to this coming to the light of the media, we wouldn't even have this issue if he would have came to you before he decided to grow his hair out. If you would have been willing to work with him then, why not now?
Now,
He's a senior. He's out of school right now. He's suspended.
It's interesting. I was just watching the news last night, and there was a case just a couple of days ago that six basketball players in Birch Run decided that they were not in agreement with the coach, and so they didn't show up to practice. And the coach kicked them off the team and said that they can try out again next year, replace them. The statement that I thought was interesting, that totally is applicable to ours and is also applicable to schools and boards across the country, was this. They said, had these six students come to the coach, the administration, and said, "These are the challenges we have." Instead of saying, "We're going to act," you know, it's that whole how does it say that can get us in trouble? Go ahead and act now and ask for forgiveness later. It's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. Well, that's not the case. It's better when you're given an opportunity to ask for permission and work through a system.
Do you regret that this has happened? If you had to do it all over again, would you handle things differently?
I think that,
Because it's given you a black eye, if you will.
I think that, on this side of the fence, I think that one of the things also that wasn't talked about was all the support that we received for taking a stand for what all of the other students agreed to. And, my kids will come to dad at the dinner table and begin to make their appeal to, the board president. "We don't like the dress code policy." And I said, "That's fine. And you don't have to like it." "I don't have to like it, but it's a policy that was enacted at the beginning of the school year, and it gives parents and teachers the ability to have an understanding of what the structure will be like." Every summer we revisit these issues, and I said, "So, honey, what you need to do is go ahead and put an understanding together. Maybe get some kids to sign a petition. Set a time, come to the board, share it, and make an appeal for your decision to be heard, and it'll be considered." But see, none of that happened. And so we're, I think, disheartened that the whole context, and context really is everything, wasn't, and that doesn't always happen. We understand that. What we are excited about is that they did exercise their right, which charter a school of choice does, and they're choosing to go to another school that we're really familiar with, has fantastic academics, great athletics, and JT's, my understanding, is hoping to maybe play baseball at a smaller college in Tennessee. And this would probably prepare him for an opportunity to do just that. So as the dust settles, they've exercised their right to, if not agreeing with the, you know, already agreed to codes and standards, they can choose to go to a school that doesn't have the codes and standards that we do.
So is what you're saying is that you're not going to be bullied into changing what you believe, even if it means that you lose a student to another school?
What I'm saying is that we as a board, parents, administration, every summer we revisit the entire student parent handbook and try to get input. Is this the best and highest practice? Is this going to give the students the greatest educational competitive edge, or do we need to change things? It really would be similar to in the middle of the baseball season, someone saying, you know, I think that we should have four strikes and not three. Well, that's great, but at this point, halfway through the season, the entire season has been predicated on three strikes. Now, we can rally people, we can open it up for discussion after the season, and if we need to, let's change it to a four-strike baseball season. And that's really the context of what we're dealing with here.
You're listening to the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS, 1320WILS.com. We're talking with Nicholas Mihailov. He's the president of the Madison Academy Board of Education. They've been in the news nationally because of this story, but we're going to talk about charter schools, education funding, charter schools versus public schools, online learning, the term for-profit school, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the teachers at charter schools. And we hear quite frequently from union officials that they're not as qualified as they are in public schools.